And a full text of the report is available in Spanish too. The fifth National Climate Assessment can be found online at globalchange.gov. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
Mark Sanford Gross, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio just wrapped up our annual fall membership drive. Support from listeners like you helped us reach our goal, gain new members, and prepared us to bring you more organic, homegrown, fresh off the vine community radio. Thanks to all those who donated during this drive, and thanks to those who listened in. Stay tuned for more.
Can't get good reception of KBOO on your radio? Just type in www.kboo.fm on your PC or laptop and click on Listen Live. We're just a mouse click away.
KBOO.
You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell us the Indian first then?
Well, welcome. Welcome to Rose City Native Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. And, well, today we have a special episode. We have two special guests here during Native American Heritage Month. It's the month, the season of Thanksgiving, but also a moment in time where we can celebrate, we can remember, we can reminisce the history of the indigenous peoples here in, well, in the Americas, all over the world, even the land that we call Australia and the aboriginals. So with that being said, well, today, well, my name is Ender. I'm sure you've heard about me. I'm Public Affairs Director at KBOO, longtime volunteer with Rose City Native Radio, although I haven't actually done this show in a while, and very glad to be here live in the air room just for you. And today we have two very special people who are activists in their own rights here in Portland. And it's true, you are activists. I consider you that. So we have Eva Redbird. Hi, Eva.
Hello. Thank you for having us, Ender.
Yeah, and she is the Multnomah County Library's Indigenous Community Services Coordinator.
Yes.
Yeah, and we have Patty Rincon.
Yes, hi.
Hi. And you are Multnomah County Library's Bilingual Spanish Communications Coordinator.
Yes, and thank you so much for having us here today. We're so excited.
Yeah, I am super excited too, and we're opening the phone lines, so hopefully, you know, throughout the show, people will be able to community here. Listen closely. We're live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and you are welcome to call in throughout the show and participate. Just ask questions, how you can, like, get involved with all these activities here in town, in our, you know, our great county of Multnomah. And, well, let's start with Eva Rincon. Because I'm sorry, Ever Redbird, close enough, but not quite.
Both of us, it's a mix of both of us.
Ever Redbird, your job title is very, very cool.
Yeah.
And Multnomah County Library's Indigenous Community Services Coordinator. And talk to us about what you do and what it is that you guys are doing.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We're really, really honored to be here tonight. I am Hunkpapa Lakota in Yankton, Dakota, and my family, our reservation is in Poplar, Montana. So my grandparents relocated here during World War II and lived in segregated housing in Vanport. And my grandmother was really active in the Native community growing up and kind of instilled that activism in me. And so I'm really honored to work for the library. Our Indigenous team is new. It just formed about 2 years ago. And so there's about 9 of us on our team, and we're all representatives of different tribes from across the nation. Portland has the 9th largest Native American urban Indian population in the United States, and we were a federal relocation site. We had the Shemawa boarding school here, and I'm also a grandchild of a survivor of Shemawa boarding school. And so we have a really large Native American population here and lots of diverse tribes. And even at the county, at the library, our team is made up of many different tribes, and so we all bring a lot of strengths and cultural values and perspectives from our different heritages and our different teams and our communities and our families and the way that we were raised. And so I think it's really powerful that the library is starting to incorporate Indigenous values into library spaces. So I don't like to say we're decolonizing, but I like to say that we're indigenizing library spaces. And it is Native Heritage Month, and so this month a lot of the libraries have Native book displays and art and media on display, and it's really powerful for folks to be able to come into library spaces and see our stories being on display and recorded and presented in an accurate, authentic, genuine, real way. And I think that's a huge revolutionary change for the Native community, and I'm really grateful to be part of that change that's happening.
Yeah, it is a revolutionary change. You know, I'm guessing like 20 years ago, we didn't celebrate these things. We didn't like pay attention to this history. There's very important history of the original peoples of this land. And it's so important. I feel like, you know, there's a big difference between the term decolonizing and indigenizing. And I feel like indigenizing is more positive, more forward. So yeah, thank you for that. And what about you, Patty Rincon? You are the bilingual Spanish communications coordinator at the Multnomah County Library. Wow, that's a title. You guys both have really awesome job titles.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about you, what you do.
So I am the bilingual Spanish communications coordinator. And so a lot of my work is in Spanish, but it's also in English too. So I focus on connecting our staff. We have various service languages and also cultural groups. So the Indigenous team, which Eva is a part of, is one of the two culture groups. And we also have a BCLA team, which is a Black Culture Library Advocates team. So those are the two culture groups of the library, which is awesome. And they're really focused on connecting with the community and making that connection. And then we also have language groups. And so these are team members that speak Spanish, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Russian. And so I really connect with all of these teams and say, how can we share the stories, the community stories, and how can we make the library connection with our community so that they know more about the work we're doing and that the library is a space for them? And that's really a short version of what my job is.
Yeah, I think you both have very important jobs in the community where you get to engage people in the community. And I should say, you are able to engage people in a way that is free for them. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Yes.
It's a big deal because it opens the doors for so many community members that don't want to spend more or can't actually spend more. Mm-hmm. And so, well, let's go ahead and tell us everything. Well, not everything, maybe, but we can tell us everything the Multnomah County Library is doing during Native American Heritage Month. But if you can give us a few important elements of what of your work. And before you go there, I want to remind people we're live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. The number is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. You're welcome to call and ask questions. Just talk to Patty and Eva and ask them all the questions. And so, yeah, tell us what the Multnomah County Library is doing, specifically events, actions that the people can know about.
Well, I just want to jump in really quickly and say that all of the events are made possible in large part by Eva's team. And the connection that that team has with the community, with presenters who come to the library, is huge. I think if this team wasn't there, there's like no way. Like they are the connectors. And my favorite event, which Eva helped in a huge part, was we had author Linda Mianis. She is a beloved elder in the community, and she wrote a book named My Name is Lamouche. And it was incredible to see her at, it wasn't at a library, it was at NEA housing complex, but she made the connection with Eva, with the library, and was able to talk about her book. And I think the coolest thing about that book is that she actually had a book written about her when she was 6 years old. And at the age of six, she was at Multnomah County Central Library signing that book. Now she is an elder, she's an older woman, and has written her own book about her life and is back at the library. And I just think that is amazing. And it's this wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the connection of Eva Redbird, Indigenous Community Coordinator, and that team.
That's amazing. Can you tell us the writer's name again?
Yes, Linda Mianis. And the last name is spelled M-E-A-N-U-S.
And wow, I don't know anything about her yet, but I do know that she's been immersed in literature since she was very little.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eva.
Well, she's actually the granddaughter of the chief of Celilo Falls. And so she grew up in Celilo before the dam was built. And that was a time of mourning for her family. They were devastated by the dam being built. It flooded their fishing village. It destroyed the scaffolds that they fished on, and that was their source of living and life. She talks about her mom purchasing their first family car by trading salmon to the car dealership. And just, you know, Linda speaks her language. She still powwow dances. She's an activist. She's an author. She is first in her family to go to college, and she's also a boarding school survivor. And she's just an incredibly powerful, amazing woman, and it was such an honor to have her share her story and speak, and just, she's a treasure. We love her so much, and that was such an honor to have her.
There's an amazing story there, exchanging salmon for a car. I feel like that would if we could talk about that for half hour, it would be very entertaining. Yeah. But it almost, I don't know if you would agree, Eva, being a Native American person in this day and age, active in society, is just being an activist. Like, yes. We don't even realize it. You're not doing protests or anything, like people in general, like me, for example. And it's just being a Native American person in Western society that is able to maneuver Western society and yet maintain that culture. That's it. That's activism 101 right there. Yes. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. I think there was a quote that I read about every Native child that's born is an act of revolution, is an act of carrying on our seventh generation and helping to transform the future for Native people. And that makes me feel really hopeful. This morning, Patti and I were down at City Council celebrating the proclamation of Indigenous Peoples Day coming into act. I'm part of a project where we are renaming the Sabi Island Bridge to the Wapatu Bridge, which was the Indigenous tribes that lived on the island. That was their word for the bridge. And so I'm really excited and honored to be part of these huge changes that are happening and historical changes that are happening. And I feel like it's one step towards land back for us as Native people, and small steps towards making some kind of reconciliation and reparations for us as Native folks.
Do you think this is a natural evolution of the United States? Like what's happening, it seems, and a lot of people consider it naive to even think about this, but it seems that slowly we're becoming more able to recognize the importance of indigenous people, of their culture, their wisdom, which is, you know, has become stereotypical, but their knowledge of life and the land, that it wasn't about technology or war weapons or nothing like that. It was about this mystical and wonderful connection with each other and the land. Do you think it's a natural progression in the United States? What would you say about that?
I do. Yeah. I do think that. I think, you know, food sovereignty and using food as medicine and pollution and global warming and the state of our world, I think we're being forced to move back to our traditional values and see how the world was before colonization, and really rely on these systems and see the value in nature and our animals and our plants. And yeah, I do think this is a natural evolution, environmentally, politically, physically.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible for a Western world like we live in to slowly adapt to these ancient indigenous notions of life and connection and fairness, and be able to integrate it into this very complex industrial, post-industrial reality that we live in? It's a heavy question, but, you know, we want to hear your opinion because you are on the field, you know, working every day to maintain this indigenous presence and expand it.
Yes, I feel hopeful. I think it is possible, and I do feel hopeful. I think it's in the way that I'm raising my own children and the values that I'm instilling in the next generation, and the ways that I can influence youth, and the ways that we can help create this positive change. And really, our future is in our children's hands. And so I feel confident that our next generation has the strength to carry on these changes and implement these changes and carry on the revolution in a powerful way. I want to feel hopeful. I want to feel that there's optimism in the future, and that I know the literature that's coming out, all of the books that we see that come into the library, it's so amazing. All the children's books that explain these really heavy, hard to understand topics in a way that is easy for children to understand. And so I think that's how we're planting these seeds of change.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Deb Haaland becoming the Secretary of the Interior? First indigenous person to be in that position?
Yeah.
I feel like it makes so much sense to have a Native American woman be Secretary of the Interior.
Yeah.
Do you think, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's a long time coming. Yeah, mm-hmm. It makes sense. It feels natural. It feels like, you know, Native societies were matrilineal, many of them anyways, and we looked to our grandmas, our aunties, our elder women as leaders, or women identifying, or Two-Spirit people who carried that medicine. They had a lot of knowledge and wisdom. I mean, it's that way in our families. And so, yeah, I feel like so proud of Deb Haaland, and what an honor and what a beautiful thing for our children to be able to look up and see a familiar face.
Yeah, I think it's so important, Eva, what you just said about the value of mothers in Native American cultures. And this is something that, you know, although I'm from here and everything, and I'm a Western person as much as anybody else, I have my iPhone right here, I know what I'm doing, you know what I'm talking about. But it's hard sometimes to see this history of European origin, where women have had less rights and weren't respected. It's so upside down entirely, and it's so hard even to this day when I see it in the fabric of our culture, of our Western culture, this whole thing, that it doesn't make any sense with what I know of my culture. How do you, and this is I guess a personal question, like as a woman yourself, Native American woman, and knowing this culture and being kind of an activist in your own right, but doing what you do every day, how do you reconcile this? How do you adapt to it and become successful?
I think that's something that we struggle with. Just being women in American society, you have to reach inside of yourself for that strength at the end of the day. Or for me, when I'm feeling nervous or feeling insecure or not confident in myself about issues or even speaking, these public speaking engagements, I just reach back and think of my ancestors and think about my grandmothers who survived boarding school, who survived colonization, who survived so many things for the past 500 years for me to be here and be able to speak and be, it's my honor, it's my obligation to have to be a strong woman, to be a mother to my children and be an example. And I don't take that privilege lightly. I know it's an honor and I'm so grateful to be an activist and to use my voice and my platform to help create positive change mm-hmm. for this world. I'm happy to do that, and it's an honor.
Okay, what would you tell Eva, a young Indigenous woman who might be listening to this show, and they feel oppressed by the world? Maybe they're going through something. Maybe we're talking about high schooler, and you know the world again. They're going to public school, and they're teaching about Shakespeare. And mm-hmm. What has Shakespeare have anything to do? I mean, some English writer from the 1500s, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with us. Like, what would you tell this young woman about how to empower herself and be able to get out of that space of oppression?
I know there's lots of movements focusing on like missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives, and there's a huge community of people who are protecting and fighting and supporting Native women. And I use the term women because there's a lot of Native, non-binary Native men, Native relatives who are persecuted at a higher rate as well. And so the advice that I would give, and I can only speak from my own experience, things that strengthen me is just being involved in my community, finding a safe, sober, healthy community to surround myself with, getting involved in my traditional values, relearning my language, relearning my cultural ways, relearning recipes. And that helps empower me and strengthen me and teaches me ways that I can serve my community. And I think that would be my advice to a young Native woman. Mm-hmm. And just teaching her how to love herself and to know that she comes from a strong line of Native women and ancestors, and to let that empower her. I brought some books with me. And
I know, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. I just wanted to mm-hmm. touch a little, when I was talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women, and this is one of our books at the library that's on display. It's The Lost Journals of Sacagawea by Deborah Magpie Erling. And we know the inaccurate story of Pocahontas and the inaccurate story of Sacagawea. And they were two of our first missing and murdered Indigenous children. They were children when they were taken. Sacagawea was 9 years old when she was forcibly abducted and assaulted by Charbonneau. And so I definitely want to promote that book and highlight this book that's on display mm-hmm. at the library as well. But it's
The Lost Journals of Sacagawea, a novel by Deborah Magpie Erling. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have a caller.
Okay.
So I, Joe.
Hello.
Joe, hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm well enough. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you. Ask okay. away. Talk to
All
us.
All right. So my question is, you talk about the culture and your strength, but I want to know what are the processes, the attributes, and the the skills that you encourage in your daughters and each other that represent the historical perspective of all the 10,000 years of history that's been passed on to you folks? And what do you feel is the most important skill as well as attitude for the present day that we're in and the future, which looks to be like collapse of civilization and society.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's a good question. Do you want to go ahead?
Thank you, Joe, mm-hmm. for your question. That's a lot to answer. Mm-hmm. I can speak to the ways I'm raising my daughters. I want my daughters to have regalia, and regalia is the outfits that they wear to powwows. I want them to be part of sewing their own moccasins and sewing jingles on their dresses. When our children or when people go out and dance at powwows, they're carrying the prayers of the community. And so it's not just entertainment and it's not just a performance. It's an honor to go and be in the circle and carry prayers for your community. And a lot of care and time goes into making the regalia outfits. And so I want my children to grow up, my sons and my daughters to grow up being proud to be Native and to carry good values, to be kind, to be loving, to think of others, to be helpful, to serve their community, to give back. And I think being loving humans is revolutionary. Being kind and loving and taking care of the earth and taking care of each other is the biggest value I would like to instill in my children. And I think that is powerful enough to create positive change.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Yep.
And I want to remind everybody the number for our air room, that is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. We are here live in the air room, Rose City Native Radio, with Eva Redbird, Multnomah County Library's Indigenous Community Service Coordinator, and Patty Rincon, Multnomah County Library's Bilingual Spanish Communications Coordinator. And Patty, what about if we hear from you?
Yeah.
Things. Tell us things.
So first I want to say I loved that question and that answer from Eva. I think if I were to share my piece for that
please
answer.
Please do. I want to share mine too, but yeah. go ahead.
I think it's history. I think it's learning our histories and storytelling. And that's such a key piece because a lot of the history is oral and it's passed generationally. And right before this interview, Eva and I were talking about how sometimes that history is cut off and people don't want to talk about it anymore. And so much is lost when you don't talk about it. And so for future generations, sharing that history and continuing that legacy is so important to learn about who we are, how we got here, and continuing that tradition and culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, I want to share something too, because I think Joe's question was very good. Like she was basically asking, I think, like for a specific thing that you do, that we do as Native Americans or Indigenous people, that you know, to maintain that connection to our ancient culture. So one thing for sure that I do, Joe, thank you for that question, is that in my culture, I was raised to understand that all animals are equal to me. And that this is a concept that is common, in I think, based on what I know in many Native American nations and Indigenous nations throughout the Americas, is that we don't consider ourselves superior or different than any animal. And this is something that definitely conflicts with the European way, definitely. So this is something I do every day. This is something that I know it's abnormal in Western society, definitely, but I do it every day, and I just feel this connection to all the beings around me, trees, crows, squirrels, and I consider them equal. I love them. I give them whatever I can, food usually, and water, and that's how I maintain that connection to Mother Earth, to this living conscious being that we're all sitting on. And so yeah, that's my response to that question. And right now it's 6:28. We're gonna go on a break in 2 minutes, in just 2 minutes, just a quick music break to catch our breath. But I see books right in front of me. I think we're gonna hear very important stories, or you're gonna read excerpts? Or what can you tell us?
Like I said earlier, I brought in the lost journals of Sacagawea, and I just think it's important. This story is historical fiction, but the author is Native American, and she writes in a perspective that she assumes would have been Sacagawea's voice. And sometimes it was really hard to read, but I think those are the best, most important.
One super cool thing about this book is that right now it's an always available ebook. And so if you go to the library website, there's the Libby app. On the Libby app, that means that this book is available this week, anytime, without a hold. So if you're interested in reading The Lost Journals of Sacagawea, you can get it right away from the library on the Libby app.
And the Libby app is just available on Google Store and Apple Store?
Yes.
Libby?
Yes, I believe on the App Store, whatever that App Store looks like for you.
Okay, so people with Androids can't have it? I doubt it. I think everybody can.
I bet you can.
Well, this is great, great. You know, we have a wonderful resource here in the community, as we all know, public libraries. But let's, you know, remember Multnomah County Library System. Yeah.
Yes. And if you want to learn more, go on multcolib.org. That's MultcoLib.org.
All right. MultcoLib.org. Remember, MultcoLib.org, connect to the community, uses wonderful resource. And we're going to a music break.
Hey!
Hello, everybody. We are here live on Rose City Native Radio this day, November 16th, Thursday. And hey, well, we're celebrating Native American Heritage Month, all right? My name is Ender. Hi. I used to be involved with this show way back. And I'm glad to use this slot for something important, talking to real activists that are doing, you know, they have jobs, but their jobs are activism. You know, that's the thing when you work for nonprofits. Is the Multnomah County Library a nonprofit?
Kind or a governmental agency? So. It's a governmental agency, yes.
Yeah.
But we're the coolest one.
I know, but it kind of feels like a nonprofit, although I know it's not. It has that nonprofit feel, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I think one of our key tenets is free access for all. So that's pretty big deal.
That's very nonprofit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Free access, you know, and engaging the community, mm-hmm. connecting to things. And so, yeah, we are talking to Eva Redbird. She is a Multnomah County Library's Indigenous Community Services Coordinator. Very, very apt title, especially for Native American Heritage Month, but for the whole year, right?
Yes.
Patty Rincon, she is the Multnomah County Library's Bilingual Spanish Communications Coordinator. And, well, Bilingual Spanish Communication, that's important. We have a very, very strong Hispanic community that creates shows every, I think, Tuesdays, Thursdays, weekends. A lot of listeners, and it's been like a historic thing for KBOO, engaging our growing and powerful Spanish community here in Portland. And can you speak to that, Patty?
Yes, yeah. Of course. So, buenas noches a todos los que están escuchando en español. Aquí estamos representando la Biblioteca del Condado de Multnomah y estamos hablando del mes de la herencia nativoamericana. Aquí con mi compañera, colega Eva Redbird. Ella está a cargo de los recursos para la comunidad indígena acá en Portland, en Multnomah County. Y estamos compartiendo recursos, información de cómo la biblioteca se conecta con la comunidad, que es algo súper importante, algo que estamos muy apasionadas de hacer y de compartir.
Yes, exactly. Everything that she said. And you can call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Call, and if you want to speak to Patty in your native language of Spanish and you know, connect to that level, do that. When I talk to Eva, who, again, she's the Indigenous Community Service Coordinator at the Multnomah County Library. You're welcome. We want to hear your thoughts. And, you know, let's go back to the basics of the Multnomah County Library right now during Native American Heritage Month. Events, things that are happening, like this week, next week, things
yes.
that you want people to go to, people to be engaged with. Yeah.
So today we had a great event with Andrea Robidoux, where they were creating Parfleche. Is that right, Eva?
Yes.
And that happened, that was tonight. But this Saturday, Eva can tell us more about Native Story Hour.
Ooh, yes. That sounds okay. Yeah, I want to hear all about it.
We have our beloved elder, Karen Kitchen. She will be she's from the Osage Nation, and she hosts our monthly Native Story Hour virtually at the library, and she's doing an in-person Native Story Hour at the Hollywood Library from 1:30 to 2:30, and would love for children to come. She's great. She does songs and drumming, and she's encouraging folks to wear their ribbon skirts or their ribbon shirts or their moccasins or their regalia and come show up in person for Native Story Hour. Also, tomorrow evening from 5 to 7:30 at David Douglas High School, we have Native American Night. And so the library will be there doing book giveaways and sharing information about the library. And lots of other Native American nonprofits will be there tabling. So it's a really fun event, and I highly encourage folks to show up and be in community with other Native folks. Yes, I think they will be doing library card giveaways tomorrow as well and signing folks up for library cards and library services. We had events that already happened. We had Stephanie Craig, who's a traditional basket weaver. She presented last weekend. We had the Linda Mianis event, which was wonderful. And then, like I mentioned before, all the library locations have Native books and art and media on display for the rest of this month. And many of the locations have Indigenous staff working there, so we would really love the Native community to come show up and feel welcome and feel seen and included, and consult with a friendly librarian. If you are interested in learning more about a specific tribe or a Native author, this is a perfect time to come to your library and find out more.
And you said tomorrow, Friday. Yes. Friday, Hollywood Library.
Tomorrow,
right?
Is the event at David Douglas High School.
David Douglas
Saturday
High School.
Saturday at the Hollywood Library. Okay. Is Karen Kitchen Storytelling.
So
event.
Tomorrow, what time at the David Douglas High School?
5 to 7:30.
5 to 7:30, David Douglas High School.
Yes.
Special Native American event, storytelling.
Yes. It's a Native American Cultural Community Night.
Native American Cultural Community Night.
Yes.
5 to 7, David Douglas High School, sponsored by the Multnomah County Library.
Not sponsored, but we are participating at
it. Oh, participating.
Yes, so one cool thing kind of about what Eva is sharing is that the library's Indigenous team goes to different community events, and so we'll do what's called tabling, where we'll set up kind of a table like a booth with library resources, books, and just be at these events and connect with the community. So that's kind of what's happening tomorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's since our team is new, we are really looking for feedback from the Native American community here in Multnomah County. We're really wondering how we can best serve them and meet their needs and make them feel included and welcomed and seen in spaces that Native folks might not have always felt included and welcome in. And so that's a big part of what we're looking for when we're doing community outreach and meeting with our elders and meeting with our youth. We really want them to feel valued and consulted and respected, and that we're not just telling them what they need, but asking mm-hmm. what they need. We have 9 tribes represented here in Oregon, and I really value the input from those tribes and their tribal leaders and their elders. And especially since I'm not from an Oregon tribe, I really need to hear that feedback from mm-hmm. them before we make decisions. And there's a lot of new libraries or library renovations are happening right now. And so we are being consulted. Our team is being consulted about that, and we're asking that Native art be on display, or Native plants be planted in the gardens outside, and that just small ways that Native folks can feel automatically included and represented.
Yeah.
Is there an email address, a phone line that people could have to give you feedback on?
So you can always give us a call, and our library phone number is 503-988-5123, and you can call that number if you have any questions about library services or if there's anything you want to share with us. And one really important thing that I think we want people to know is, yes, we're here talking about Native American Heritage Month, but this is not only happening during this month. We have events all year long for the Native and Indigenous community to come and connect and learn about the library, but also participate in cultural events that really are important to you and where you can feel that connection. So we're working on really making the library a community space. And that's kind of been a change from maybe what people think of from the past of, you know, somebody shushing you in the library. It's really changing, and the library's are becoming community spaces, and that's what we want. So know that, you know, there's always more, not just this month, but in following months, you can come to the library and there will be an event, a book, people that can connect with you.
So you're telling me nobody will shush me at the library.
Depends how loud you are, maybe.
Okay. okay, so the number is 503-231-8187. We're welcoming any feedback, questions, comments in both English and Spanish. Do you want to give our Spanish callers the number?
Pueden llamarnos al número 503-231-8187.
Yeah. Okay, so why is it important for people to be engaged with Native American Heritage Month? It's kind of an easy question, and yet not an easy question. Why? Why would regular white people be interested at all. It's not their culture.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for non-Native people to be aware that we are still here. We've always been here. We are still here. And oftentimes we're talked about in a historical context, like as if we are all extinct. And I think it's important for folks to know, you know, we are still contributing members of society, and we bring a lot of cultural values and strengths and ways of living that are so important and vital to our community today. And I also talked about missing and murdered Indigenous women earlier, and I just really want to highlight the fact that we need support from Native and non-Native communities, that we have an obligation to protect our next generation and to raise healthy Native children who feel safe and feel, you know, that we're valuable, and we need to work to dismantle so many things that came in the fires of colonization and get back to our cultural values that empower us.
Can you name three things off the top of your head that a person of non-Indigenous descent could learn from our culture or our cultures? Off the top of your head, three things that they're not present in mainstream culture. They're not present in Western world things.
Corn, beans, and rice.
The three
sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah, and people think, a lot of people, this is a very important point. A lot of people think that rice comes from Asia specifically, but no. It used to grow, I don't know if it still does, actually, I don't know the facts, but it used to grow all around in the Great Lakes, mm-hmm. wild, along the Great Lakes shorelines. Mm-hmm. Just imagine that, mm-hmm. okay? So food items, is that the main thing?
Yeah, no, just you said three things, and I was thinking of, or corn, beans, and squash, the three sisters. That's what comes to my mind, you know, food sovereignty and food as medicine, and just if we take care of the earth takes care of us, and that's such a inherent value, mm-hmm. in being Native, and just... those are things that come in. Yeah, just talking about colonization has come in many forms, mm-hmm. and it's attacked our food rights, our plants, our animals, in addition to our languages and our culture and religion and boarding school and all of these things that have caused so much damage to our community.
Pain. Just raining pain, mm-hmm. for hundreds of years now. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned food, and the first thing that comes to mind is GMOs. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to like have an actually traditional lifestyle, mm-hmm. when Monsanto controls, if it's not Monsanto, it's the other three companies that, mm-hmm. control the entire factory farming industry. What do you say about that? Like, basically go organic? Mm-hmm. Like, what would you say?
Well, NAYA, the Native American Youth and Family Center, has a huge garden in their space, and now they own the land that the center is sited on. And those are traditional Native lands. I mean, everywhere is traditional Native lands, but there's a huge garden there now, and the youth that go there can help grow vegetables that they eat in their lunch every day. There's a high school there. Mm-hmm. Community members can come, bring their children. Youth elders can be part of gathering food there. There's also a garden on Sobeys Island, on Wapato Island.
Wapato. Love that name. Yeah. Wapato Bridge.
Yes, Wapato. Yeah, there's a Native-run garden out there. And some really amazing Native activists are running that garden out there, and part of like the food sovereignty project that's in place to help, you know, 1 in 3 Native people in Multnomah County live in poverty. And so I think how powerful it is to be able to go get a food box and know that your food is organic and grown right here, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. free of GMOs. And mm-hmm. That's a huge step.
And we call it organic nowadays. And and it's, you know, typically people with more money can get it. But everything used to be organic. I mean, there wasn't GMOs. Everything was perfect. Everything was beautiful. And anyway, that just came to mind. I see books on the table.
Yes, I did. I brought two and other books.
Indigenous People's History of the United States. Oh, that's a classic.
Yes.
Please tell us.
Yes. Inform well, I recommend An Indigenous People's History of the United States by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. And I recommend this book to everyone, non-Native or Native. It just gives an accurate portrayal of Native history from a real perspective. And I was never taught this history in any of my formal education. I was never taught the... If we were taught history, it was from a white colonizer perspective. And so, you know, folks like Howard Zinn and Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, it's really powerful to be able to hear that perspective and to be able to teach our children true history. And this book is also very painful and very, very heavy and very hard to read at times, which is even more of a reason why everyone needs to read it.
Can you share the title again, Eva?
An Indigenous People's History of the United States by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz.
And these are books, of course, widely available. Are your own Multnomah County Library. Remember, we're talking to Eva Redbird, and she works for the Multnomah County Library. She's the Indigenous Community Services Coordinator, and Patty Rincon, who is the Bilingual Spanish Communications Coordinator. Again, Multnomah County Library, local resource that if you're not using, well, you can start using it now. Please continue.
Thank you. I also brought Tribal Histories of the Willamette Valley, and I have not had a chance to read this yet. I just got it from the library yesterday. It's written by David G. Lewis, and they are a local member of the Grand Ronde Tribe, and they are also a scholar, an assistant professor at OSU, and they have been contributing to input regarding the change of the name of the Sabi Island Bridge to Wapato. So I'm really excited to read this book. And that's what's so refreshing, too, about this next generation of authors and writers is that we are getting a huge wave of accurate histories that are written. And it's my hope that we can start to flood the libraries with new Native authors and writers and kind of dismantle these white patriarchal historians.
Why do you think, I mean, I think I know the answer, but why do you think it's important for everybody, especially for Indigenous children, but really for everybody, to get rid of this Eurocentric perspective on everything? It's limited, isn't it?
It's like, limited, and it's a lot of it is lies, and a lot of it is told to glorify the oppressor, and a lot of it has religious backings that shame and harm and hurt Native people, and they aren't telling the true story of the brutality and the pandemics and ways that Native people were forcibly terminated and removed and harmed and hurt and abused in many ways. And so I think it's a step towards healing that pain and making reparations for the future. And it's important. We as Native people know that. We know what we experienced. We know what our grandparents survived. We know that story. We don't necessarily need to read these books. We know it. We could write we are writing these books. So it's important for non-Native folks to unpack that that power dynamic, and that's how we create change, and that's how we create, that's how we dismantle these systems that have harmed us and are still harming us.
Where do you see Indigenous activism and culture now in the future? This is beyond the Multnomah County Library, just globally or nationally.
Well, I think it's a huge step that our Indigenous team does exist at Multnomah County. We also just got a Native employee resource group put in place for other Native folks who work all across the county in different ways. It's a little sad that it's 2023 and these groups are just being put into place and that we are just being consulted and just being organized and recognized. But I also feel that it's revolutionary and empowering and hopeful that our voices are being heard now and that change is happening now. And like I mentioned before, I feel very hopeful in our next generation. The way that I'm raising my own children, the things that they say, the little activists that they are, and the values that I'm instilling in them, that's the biggest change that I'm going to make. That's the biggest impact I'm going to be leaving in this world, is how I raise my children and nurturing them to be agents of change.
Yeah, it seems we're entering a new era. I don't know. I talk about this with my friends frequently, about this new era that we're entering, the evolution of consciousness. And I think that it's crucial that we begin to, and we will, and we are doing that, embrace this ancient indigenous understanding of life, of reality. And I am quite certain at this point that the United States is not going to get anywhere without integrating indigenous and, you know, Native American culture and knowledge and understanding of the land, of life, into the fabric of the country, you know. And yeah,
I think you're completely right. And it's about learning about others' cultures too, like, depending on, you know, what your background is, what else can you learn about somebody else who grew up differently than you, who had a different background? What other stories aren't being shared, right? And one of the things that we talk about a lot at the library is all of the different communities that maybe did not feel welcome to go to the library before. And now we're saying, this is a space for you. And how can we learn from each other? So I mentioned earlier, we have different language groups at the library: Vietnamese, Chinese, Russian, Spanish, all people with different backgrounds, different cultures, different religions, different beliefs. And we also have a Black cultural group too, along with the Indigenous cultural group, and all groups that maybe in the past did not feel welcome. And now we're saying, come here, come learn, and let's learn from each other too. And that's a huge thing that is happening. And I think what Eva said is right, is a double-edged sword, right? It's, how is this happening in 2023? And at the same time, it's amazing and it's giving hope, and let's continue to move forward and share with each other.
Yes. It feels like it's too late, and yet it's like, oh, I'm glad it's happening, right? It's both. But I do think, you know, it's hard to accept, and I think it's hard for a lot of people to accept that we have lived and we still live in a racial hierarchy system in the country and the world. And this is rough. People don't want to talk about it too much, you know, but we do. We live within a racial hierarchy system where only one race, specifically in the United States, only one racial group was encouraged to bloom and flower. It's like, hey, come in here. I'm gonna give you a bunch of land, and you can bloom and flower and become awesome. And this is rough. This is rough that this has been the reality. And now, you know, we're just opening up to just embracing everybody else. Everybody has something to give, you know. And yes, we're talking about Native American stuff because it's Native American Heritage Month, but it's multicultural. It's everybody. That it's not just one group that has the truth, and, you know, they have to be in power because they're just better. We have a caller. Yeah.
Hey, I have been listening for maybe half of the show, and I am loving to hear our local library on air with our local community.
Yay!
And aside from everything that is interesting in particular about what you're talking about tonight, I would love to hear more content and collaboration between KABU and the library, bringing all of these important services, collections, communities that the library is interacting with into the sphere of KABU, and how we interact with the same area. I would love that. And I would love to hear y'all on this program again. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. That's excellent feedback. Yeah, definitely. It's on my list now, definitely. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And we've been talking to Eva Redbird, Multnomah County Library's Indigenous Community Services Coordinator, and Patty Rincon, Multnomah County Library's Bilingual Spanish Communications Coordinator. We were talking about many things, how you can get involved with your own, your Multnomah County Library system, which is a free resource, right?
People, yes,
don't have to pay to get in.
Exactly. All the events at the library are free and available for you, and you can learn all about them at multcolib.org.
MulcoLib.org. And any last words, 30 seconds.
We're so excited to be here. We're so thankful for the community. Continue to support your local libraries. We're welcoming you with open arms and open doors. So come visit us. And if you're unable to visit your local library, check us out at MulcoLib.org. That's MulcoLib.org.
Eva?
Thank you. Just thank you so much, Ender, for having us as your guests and listening to us and giving us the space to share and speak and talk about our strengths. And yeah, thank you. And happy Native American Heritage Month all year long.
Yes, it is. It's been an honor. And thank you for listening to KBOO and to Rose City Native Radio. Until next time.
You are listening to a digital Indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell us an Indian first then?
HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO radio station is located in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. We honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on, the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Watlala bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin, Kalapuya, and many other indigenous nations of the Willamette and Columbia River regions. It is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationship to each other and the living world. We establish and support harmony within ourselves and set the stage for practice.